What's new with you? Let's see. Oh, you're getting a taste for something different.
I tried a muffaletta. Turns out, I like olives.
Relaxing. Far, far away from the city.
Oh, I needed this.
You needed this. Oh, and getting together with some old friends to find your new favorite band.
That show was amazing.
When you are the most you, that's when you're with Amex. American Express. Don't live life without it.
Welcome to Switched On Pop. I'm songwriter Charlie Harding.
And I'm musicologist Nate Sloan.
Nate, this week we're starting with a question sent to us from one of our listeners.
Bring it on.
Hey, Switched On Pop. This is Michael calling in. I'm curious if you guys have a take on the resurgence of yacht rock in pop music in the last few years. I grew up listening to this stuff because my dad loved it in the late 70s and early 80s. And, you know, we used to listen to the likes of Christopher Cross, Chicago, the Doobie Brothers. And it just seems like lately, whether it's Charlie Puth, Jacob Collier, the Jonas Brothers' new song, Waffle House, no, don't get stressed, it's gonna get figured out. These Doobie-inspired plucky pianos and synths and steady drum beats just seem to be coming back, and you know, sonically in pop music. And I'd kind of love your take on it and kind of why it's happening and what exactly makes this yacht rock sound such an earworm.
Great question.
Yacht rock.
I love Doobie as an adjective. Doobie-esque. Doobie-like. Doobie-inspired.
Dubious?
I just broke my brain with that one.
So yacht rock. Do you know what yacht rock is, Nate?
Well, I have to say, I know the term. I know the bands Michael is referring to. But when it comes to like the term yacht rock, where does this period begin? Where does it end? What are the sonic hallmarks? Where did the name come from? I have no answers.
Okay, yacht rock. Let's get to the bottom of this. First of all, yacht rock is not a genre from its time period, but rather a parody made up in the early 2000s in a web series of the same name, Yacht Rock, that aired on Channel 101 about the fictitious lives of smooth rock stars.
Oh, hi, I'm Hollywood Steve. You caught me relaxing in my music nook. From 1976 to 1984, the radio airwaves were dominated by really smooth music, also known as yacht rock. These yacht rockers docked a remarkable fleet of number one hits, and every song has a story behind it.
This very DIY series coins the term yacht rock. It may be kind of adjacent to the pejorative term dad rock, and it focuses on this style of music from the mid-70s to roughly the mid-80s of soft rock by artists like Michael McDonald, Kenny Loggins, Hall & Oates, Toto, the Doobie Brothers, Steely Dan, and even some of Michael Jackson and Stevie Wonder's catalog. Hmm. And it's this sort of made-up genre that describes a style of crystalline, perfect production, lush, jazzy chords, relaxing vibe, and sometimes a overtly commercial sound that was long lambasted and is now resurgent with younger audiences. Nate, since the web series premiered, acts like Thundercat have capitalized on a resurgent interest in yacht rock, even performing with Michael McDonald and Kenny Loggins on his song Show You the Way. Ladies and gentlemen, Michael McDonald.
It's interesting how I feel like Michael McDonald's unique voice is both being celebrated there and also kind of a little tongue-in-cheek, you know? It's like...
Yeah.
That's an interesting legacy.
He's even gone on the record to say that he is thankful for this yacht rock label because it has helped bring back his career.
I thought it was hilarious when I first saw it. It was, you know... Don't worry, you know, when your music becomes less relevant, your pathetic comic value might be of some worth, you know. But it's fun. It's no one's more amazed than I think myself and my contemporaries are that we're still working, you know, and we're still out there playing music.
If you are enjoying this sound, Nate, you could get more Yacht Rock by going to Spotify, where their playlist Yacht Rock has over a million likes, or you could listen to Sirius XM, which has channel Yacht Rock 311. The interest in Yacht Rock is arguably at its height.
Yeah.
Google Trends shows that every single summer there is a peak of Yacht Rock interest as people want to have that smooth, summery vibe. Perhaps they're getting ready to go out on their yachts.
Their yachts of the mind.
And this summer, it looks like on Google Trends that we may be approaching peak Yacht Rock. Do you have an operating theory for why this sound is working right now?
Well, if you're going to put me on the spot, perhaps I would say that some of the elements that you talked about, the complex jazzy harmonies, the kind of smooth mid-tempo grooves, these connect to modern listeners who have been listening to samples of this music and genres like hip hop for decades.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like the best example is Warren G's Regulate, which samples Michael McDonald's I Keep Forgetting.
I'm tweaking into a whole new era. G-Funk, step to this, I dare ya. Funk on a whole new level. The rhythm is the bass. Whoa. And the bass is the treble. I keep forgetting when I'm in love anymore. I keep forgetting things will never be the same again. I keep forgetting.
And are maybe hearing it as a sort of organic antidote to some of the more programmed and synthesized music that dominates the contemporary Billboard Hot 100. But I'm just making this up as I go along. So what insights might you have, Chuck, after ruminating on the Yacht Rock phenomenon?
Maybe another explanation would be the 40-year itch.
Uh-huh.
A term coined by New Yorker writer Adam Gopnik back in 2012 to explain the success of Mad Men in the 2000s. He says that the prime site of nostalgia is always whatever happened or is thought to have happened in the decade between 40 and 50 years past, because according to him, you know, pop culture, though performed by the young, is often dictated by the older gatekeepers who are largely 40-somethings, and that they have this longing for this four-decade interval because it exists in the time just before they were born, when their parents were youthful and in love. And Gopnik calls it the Edenic period, preceding the fallen state recorded in our actual memories. He's very, very poetic about it. But I think more than just the 40-year nostalgic itch, there, as you pointed out, are musical reasons that this era of music sounds compelling at this moment. And I thought maybe we could listen to a case study, and our listener, Michael, brought up the Jonas Brothers.
Hmm.
When I heard their single Wings, it brought me right into Yacht Rock territory.
You are the wings I need to fly away. When you give me love, I feel it, I feel it, I feel like I ran through the ceiling, the ceiling, the ceiling. No, my love never had a meaning, a meaning, a meaning.
Mmm. The Jonas Brothers go Yacht Rock. I mean, I'm hearing it. The very first thing we hear feels like a characteristic of Yacht Rock. That's that electric piano. Why? What? I have a feeling you've dug into this, Charlie. Why does that timbre of that electric piano scream Yacht Rock to me? What is it?
I mean, electric pianos were just very popular in this era. And I think from chord one, we are getting heavy Hall & Oates vibes.
Hall & Oates vibes. Okay. Okay.
So here's Wings.
You are the one, the sun, the light of day.
And you could take almost any Hall & Oates song, but let's listen to She's Gone. There's that electric piano.
Mm.
But it's not just the piano. It's even the melody at the beginning of Wings.
You are the one, the sun, the light of day.
Do you know Private Eyes by Daryl Hall and John Oates? Check it out again.
You are the
heavy Hall & Oates vibes.
Heavy Hall & Oates, yeah.
Okay, so we've got Hall & Oates covered, but this song plays like a mashup playlist of yacht rock. Let's keep on going.
Let's.
You mentioned keys. We've got some great keyboard feel just a second further into Wings. That fantastic, funky clavinet sound is very reminiscent, I would say, of Stevie Wonder's Higher Ground. And it's got the groove of The Way You Make Me Feel off of Michael Jackson's Bad. The vocal styling on Wings is very reminiscent of Michael as well. And as Wings continues and the vocal harmonies soar, we get a meeting of the minds of like Kenny Loggins' Meet Me Halfway. Collaborated on a web series with Steely Dan's Reeling in the Years. Are you reeling in the years? Stowing away the time. Are you gathering up? There are so many nods to this era of music. You can even hear it deep in the effects tracks on Wings. Like, check out this delay line. Yeah, can you say that one more time? That's the one. Yeah. It's an instant nostalgia connection for me to Steve Miller Band's Fly Like an Eagle. Exactly.
Cool.
So you pointed out that a number of these kinds of sounds have... Stop it.
Oh, sorry. You wanted to say... Okay, sorry. Go ahead.
Yes. You pointed out that a number of these sounds have been deep sampled in the world of hip-hop. Right. What else about the yacht rock vibe do you think works in this moment?
Well, there's that element I mentioned earlier, the way this sound of yacht rock kind of separates itself from a lot of the more digital textures that you encounter in top 40 pop in 2023. We have organic instruments, we have complex linear harmonies. It has that nostalgia to it. But this is also very much a song from 2023 to me. Like, it's very modern at the same time. It sounds very like 2023. What is that? Why does it still have that contemporary flavor?
You know, I actually think we could probably get to the bottom of what's up with this contemporary yacht rock thing, because the Jonas Brothers are releasing their sixth studio album this week. It's simply called The Album. It's produced by the acclaimed artist John Bellion. And I have the chance to talk to all three brothers, Nick, Joe, and Kevin Jonas. So how about I ask them what's up with the sound?
Okay, wait. That's very exciting, Charlie. I'm eager to hear from the Frères Jonas. But I also have a bit of a personal stake in this because you may recall some years ago I wrote an article for the New York Times about the return of funk in popular music.
Yep.
And I cited this drum break from the Jonas Brothers song Sucker, performed by Homer Steinweiss, incredible session drummer. And I said, listen to this James Brown inspired drum break on this Jonas Brothers song. This is telling us that funk is back.
I remember you feeling so excited about this article, and then the YouTuber Rick Beato, who does music commentary and has millions of followers, decided to make a video and completely rip your argument apart.
Yes, it was a very discouraging moment in my musicological career as I was pilloried by the Beato stands for my lack of perceived funkiness. So for me, there would be a powerful redemption arc here.
Yeah.
If you could ask the Jonas Brothers a simple question,
okay,
that would give me some much needed closure.
What's that?
Are the Jonas Brothers funky?
Okay, I'll see what I can do.
I appreciate it, Chuck.
It's late. You're almost home after catching that concert you and your friends snagged tickets to with Amex months ago. You're all speechless from the last hour spent singing your hearts out, and the only thing playing in the car is the last song of the night on full blast in your head. Admit it, you want it stuck there. The live version you can't get anywhere else. Looks like you're getting goosebumps all over again. When the night's a hit, that's when you're with Amex. American Express. Don't live life without it.
Thanks, Nick, Joe, Kevin. Thank you for being on Switched on Pop.
Yeah, thank you for having us. Of course. Thanks for doing this.
So, Nick, starting from the top, the album suggests an era of album-oriented, band-driven music. What does it mean for you all?
I think for us, this album was really about putting something together that sounded like what coming to one of our shows is like. At its core, you know, we're a band, and it's band music. So when we first sat with John Bellion, talked about what we wanted to do, what we wanted to sound like, and what we wanted to say. And we mentioned that to him, and he was thinking the same thing. So it was fun to open that up and then pull out, you know, some of the influences that our dad raised us on, Bee Gees. How deep is your love? The band America. I've been through the desert on a horse with no name. Paul McCartney. Stevie Wonder. And really lean into that late 60s, 70s sound. He played us a couple kind of early starts that he had put together that were spot on to the sonic quality and textures we wanted to bring to the table, but also emotionally.
Okay, so I have to like double check, but I went on Billboard Hot 100 yesterday, and I don't think there was a single band. That's not always the case, but the band-oriented music is relatively rare in pop music at this moment. Why for you do you want to continue to work as a band, and how does it affect your creative process?
It's an interesting thing that there's no bands on the Hot 100. That's interesting.
No, they fly in and out, but like at the moment I did a quick count. And I was like, I don't think there was one.
Yeah, even when we were gearing up to release Sucker.
Yeah, Joe.
I remember having a conversation because on like the top 20 of playlists, it was our pop playlist, it was all hip hop. And kind of solo acts, so like you're saying, it wasn't really bands. And now even where we're at as a band, we feel stronger together. I think it's fun to do the outside stuff, solo music, DNCE, and come back together and feel like we can bring all these different influences and genres that we've been able to kind of tiptoe in and out of together and bring something stronger. And Bellion really was kind of the helpful, I guess, wizard to come in and kind of like stir the pot and figure out how we're going to do this in where we're at in the music industry now, where it's heavily driven by solo acts and hip hop and some rock and stuff, where it's just like kind of all over the map, especially on playlisting or billboard. So it's, I guess we don't try to obsess over it too much. We just get in the studio, try to feel what's right and go from there.
I want to dive into the music, and you talked about the references that you were drawing from, especially from your father's records. This is not loop-based music. This is band-oriented music. There are rich, complex harmonies, chords that go in places that you don't usually hear on the charts today, maybe outside of the R&B charts. Let's go through a few songs, a couple of the singles. But first, I want to begin with the song Montana Skies. Montana Skies, Georgia Sunsets, you're the one. My understanding is this is sort of the origin of the album.
It was, yeah.
How does this sound come together?
Yeah, we first heard this song when we met with John to discuss kind of like,
yeah, Kevin,
where things in our minds should go, and also working with him. And he kind of came in and said, I kind of have this vision and an understanding of like what I think could be the thing. And this is the first song he actually kind of came in the room with as an idea, as a concept. And we just kind of instantly felt like it was right where we wanted to be, is all the references we gave our team and who we are without him knowing it. So it was kind of like a very mind meld moment. Mm-hmm. And it just felt so right that we cut it that day.
What are some of the sounds that are like the signature sonics that you're attaching to? What are you hearing in that? You're like,
I think,
yeah, Nick.
You know, one of the references that we all spoke about was the Eagles, a band that obviously we all love. Come on, baby, don't say nay. I gotta know if your sweet love is gonna say. And specifically the harmonies. You know, we're not a country act by any means, but I think because we sing a lot of three-part harmonies, the records end up tending to sound that way. And so throughout our discography, there are these different moments where it kind of leans country. But one of the rules for this time around was, how do we do the pop version of the three and five part harmonies at times? Montana, skies, Georgia, sunsets, you're the one walking in my head. And so Montana Sky was perfect because it kind of allowed for us to lock in those harmonies set against just great acoustic guitars, drums, and bass vibe that feels more Post Malone in its delivery.
Yeah, it still sounds very contemporary.
Yeah, I just like the fact that you've got the, you know, organic instruments, but the verse and pre-chorus melody could just as easily be something to hear on a Post Malone record. Mm-hmm, and then the chorus is like an Eagles vibe.
Yeah. I like that in the chorus, I feel like the vocal melodies are sort of holding still against all these chord changes underneath that sort of give a different context.
So much movement and, you know, Kevin. And the 12th string underneath there with the strings, and then the air it gives, but also the bright sound is what really drew me to it immediately. It was just like, this just feels like home.
The song is literally traveling from place to place, and I feel like the music matches the message in that way.
Very cool.
When I had the opportunity to hear Wings when it was first coming out, I was listening to it with my whole team, and we put this on, and we just like jaw dropped. I have not heard anything like this on a contemporary pop record.
That's refreshing, and that's kind of why we wanted to lead with that song. It's a good introduction to what the body of work will take you through, a journey. And hopefully something you haven't heard in a while. It starts with vocals, starts with Nick's vocal. And it kind of, no pun intended here, but it soars vocally. Yeah. So you can say there's some like Michael vocals. And then all of a sudden it feels Queen, and then like it has like this soaring element of, again, three-part harmony, where I think there is a nod to some Bee Gees and like, I guess, Journey Americana, the band, and like
Stevie Wonder with a whirly, like all of it, you know.
And then it's rhythmic, so it doesn't feel sleepy, and it's quick. It's only like a minute or 2 minutes or something. I'm not even sure how.
2 seconds less than 2 minutes or something.
Usually when people hear it for the first time, they're like, where's the rest of it? And we'll see, you know, maybe on the road we'll add to it, but it's short and sweet, and I think that's what we wanted. We wanted to kind of introduce, it's like a trailer to our album, essentially.
Yeah, it felt like an overture to me in that kind of way. I almost expected it to be song number one, but I feel like it's also, in that era of pop music, it wasn't uncommon to have sort of like interlude-y songs that maybe don't have a typical verse, pre-chorus, chorus, like, and repeats three times, so it feels appropriate. Let's move and talk about Waffle House. No, don't get stressed, just gonna get figured out. Oh, deep conversation at the Waffle House. Headstrong father and a determined mother. This is a really fun song. I'm catching some like very big Hall & Oates vibes, even some like Olivia Newton-John.
Yeah.
But I'd love to hear about where is Waffle House coming from? What is the song speaking to? It definitely has some great moments of your relationship, I'm hearing. Nick.
Yeah, so one of the things that we wanted to do on this album, which we haven't really done in the past, is open up the sphere of, you know, topics that we're talking about from beyond just romantic relationships and sure. love in that sense, but to our brotherhood and fatherhood and other themes that are big in our lives right now. And we were reflecting on
you know, a number of things in the whole process from a lyric perspective. But we had a system in place where we would text John and the team working here in New York while we were all kind of in different places traveling and doing things, some titles or lyrics that came to our minds and just kind of kept an open flow with it. Because again, we're three individuals who make up this band. And so our lives now are you know, kind of all over the map.
Yeah, you're a triangle around the country. You're so not even the same place.
Yeah, it's not as simple as, okay, we're going to be in the studio today from, you know, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. To write three songs or whatever. But yeah, it's just taking a different shape. So there's a text thread. And basically, Joe sends out a message that says Waffle House is the title, to which they think he's kidding. He then circles back and gives the context. And the context is that Waffle House is more of an idea in our minds than an actual place in the context of the song. And that's because it represents a place that, for us, when we were in the early days of touring and we were teenagers, we were not old enough to go and have a drink at a bar after to decompress.
Yeah. You go to a diner.
We'd go to a diner. And we were on the road already on the bus, so we had to go somewhere.
Right.
And so
right,
we'd stop in at a Waffle House or wherever was our alternative to a bar and have those, you know, conversations. And it really was the foundation for our relationship as brothers outside of the work that we were doing together. And so, you know, then you throw in some of the references that you mentioned, Hall & Oates. I think there's definitely, you know, some Doobie Brothers in there for sure. Mm-hmm. I think there was a few moments throughout, you know, the process of making the whole album where different songs kind of raised their hand as the favorite in that moment between the three of us. But this one from day one has been one of my favorites. I think it embodies a chapter in our journey that's incredibly personal. And hopefully by being that personal is then relatable on a more universal way and scale.
You're dropping a song with the album, which feels like it's definitely fishing for some summer vibes. You've got Summer Baby. Hey, you're feeling summer, baby, eating up my body. So much decay, now I'm dancing near the lobby. No inch. I think leans in a slightly different direction than the other songs we've spoken about.
Summer Baby is just such a feel good.
Yeah, Kevin.
And I think we went on a journey with the song too. We, you know, worked on the song and made it sound and feel the way it does. And you have that beautiful high strung guitar, the acoustic to start the whole feel. And it just like sets you instantly on the beach. I feel like late night, just like kind of hanging like around a campfire, like doing it. It's definitely not a kumbaya song. It's just like a feel good.
Barbecue music.
It's barbecue music for sure. That's a great way to say it. Thank you, Nick. It's just funny how we go on a journey too, just like you do on this album, sonically. So yeah, we're putting you in the summertime in this moment, right? And I think that's the idea.
You talked about like there are these different vibes and we've established that they are a bit unusual for what kind of like where the sound of pop music has been maybe of the last 10 years, though I think some of the sounds you're using, 70s yacht rock went from being not cool to very cool. You have songs about sailing. Like there are some yacht rock vibes in a very positive way. You mentioned the Doobie Brothers. This is cool music now, or maybe we're just all three of us in our 30s or all four of us in our 30s. And
I think that they're, you know, by way of streaming.
Yeah, Nick.
There's a real discovery happening of that era in music and not the visuals that we looked at and thought were, you know, cheesy or corny, whatever.
Those
were
cool.
But we actually listened to the records and we're like, yeah, God, these are good. And it's been fun for me because I'm such a fan of that era and Toto and all of it. Actually, fun fact, we made our first album with John Fields, our self-titled album, in Jeff Porcaro's house that he used to live in and drummer of Toto, and recorded in his studio house that was on the house.
But the music is different. Like that era of music, some of the things you're referencing are harmonically very different. The song structures are often different. The way that they're transitioning between things are different. I'm curious, as from a songwriting point of view, how did you have to adapt to sort of fit this vibe?
I think it was leaning into where we go naturally vocally. Joe's got a very high register and powerhouse tenor voice that at times I think is very similar to the way in which Sting or others from that era deliver a vocal. Whereas I tend to live more in sort of the lower tenor range, a bit breathier and, you know, sort of more on the R&B soul side. And I think knowing that after making Happiness Begins and kind of finding what felt really good to us and I hate to use this word, but juicy vocally, it led a lot of the melodies. So even on like Sail Away, the one you mentioned, those sort of pinging moments where we can like kind of tap each other in and out with different vocal approaches, I think is maybe our dad had like a master plan all along when we were growing up, like, you know, sort of
playing us these albums.
But he played us a lot of music where there was multiple lead singers in a band. which right. is what we have and what makes, I think, these moments where we're able to switch on and off from each other so fun.
Y'all are at the center of one of the biggest controversies in my life. The co-host of my show, my friend Nate Sloan, is a musicologist at the Thornton School of Music at USC.
Wow.
And he wrote a New York Times op-ed titled The Glorious Return of Funk. And it was this really beautiful animated visual thing that they did on the website. It also appeared in print. And he leads with the song Sucker and talking about how the drum break, which I think Homer Steinweiss is playing that from the Dap Kings. He says that the drum break is a drum break of stupefying, funkying proportions.
I remember this.
I'm glad you
We loved this.
Wonderful. So a few weeks later, like one of the biggest...
What's new with you? Let's see. Oh, you're getting a taste for something different.
I tried a muffuletta. Turns out, I like olives.
Relaxing. Far, far away from the city.
Oh, I needed this.
You needed this. Oh, and getting together with some old friends to find your new favorite band.
That show was amazing.
When you are the most you, that's when you're with Amex. American Express. Don't live life without it.